Let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. I don't know that we'll get done this morning. I don't know really how far the Lord wants us to go with it. But I'm going to deal this morning with an area that I struggle in, especially of late in this year. In fact, long before I even started studying on this, far as God putting it in my heart to preach, I was praying about me one day, just praying. Well, if you want to know where you're at, just get in prayer by yourself, and God will show you. And God showed me that this is where I was at, and I struggled with this area. And I found this out in the ministry, what my struggles are as pastor, is probably your struggles are too as a member. Because we're all in this thing together and we go through things together, amen. So John chapter number 10, I'll start in verse number 1. If you'd like to stand in reverence to the scripture. Appreciate you being here this morning. John chapter 10, verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I want to just add a statement on to verse 11, in case I don't get to that. It's more than that he gave his life for the sheep. He gave his life to the sheep. God's people are people that are alive with his life. We are alive with his life. Always remember that. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. My heart has been stirred with truth, Lord, throughout the night and even this morning. Lord, I appreciate your goodness to us. We pray, Lord, that you will direct us, help us to be very keenly sensitive, God, to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for that divine unction and power, God, that makes preaching preaching. God, that takes the preacher beyond himself and to a zone that the Spirit of God is evidently working. So I'm asking, God, today that you'd cleanse me of anything and everything, Lord, that would restrict us or hinder us in any way of preaching in power and demonstration this morning of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, I pray that this would get big in us, big to us, and get big through us. Lord, been struggling in these areas as you revealed that to me. But I am confident, being the pastor and seeing even just what I'm limited to see within the congregation and those that come here, Lord, I believe others, Lord, are in this place. And maybe they don't even know it. Maybe they are not even aware of it. But I pray that as you showed me in prayer and study and meditation of Scripture, that God, that you would show everybody here this morning where we are, where we are, because that was the question you asked Adam, where art thou? Because you can't take them where they need to go until they first admit and see where they are presently. And so I pray that'd be the case this morning. And we pray you'll get glory, maximum glory, defeat the powers of hell. May we be stirred to live, finish out 2017 and live 2018 to the fullest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing this morning. I'm interested. There's multiple scripture that I could use this morning for a text of the subject that I feel like the Lord had me to deal with, but I kept coming back to this one. In John chapter number 10, in verse number 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Notice that distinct statement. That they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you see there a distinction and a difference between having life and living the abundant life? There's a difference. There's two different levels there. Anyway, as I was praying and asking God just to help me, it's not selfish for you to pray for yourself, because you need to make sure you do that. I think it's selfish if that's all you pray for is yourself. But I believe that you're missing out on a lot of light and truth and a lot of help that God can give if you don't pray for yourself. Pray about how you're doing. Pray about where you are spiritually. Pray about where you used to be spiritually, where you need to be spiritually. And I'm telling you, there are times that it gets so big in my praying that time quickly goes by, and I've prayed just for myself because I stay in need. Now, if you don't need prayer, then still pray, but pray for me. How about that? I need prayer and you need to practice, somebody says, amen? But the Lord began, and I said this in prayer to the Lord, you know, I was just saying, Lord, I feel like, and you can go off of your feelings a lot. You can't go off of feelings on salvation. But now, concerning your spiritual life, you can go off of feelings a lot, not all the time. If you feel detached, it's probably because you are. If you feel distant and dead and dry, it's probably because you are. That's been the case with me. And I said this in prayer. I said, Lord, I feel like that I'm in that mode of just existing. And I thought, when it came out, and you ought to let the Spirit of God lead you in how you pray even for yourself. And when that came out, I paused and I thought, that's exactly where I'm at. I've quickly made my way through choices, and it is a choice. Wherever you are spiritually, no matter if it's on A, B, or C level, it doesn't matter. It is your choice. No, you're not there in any level because of somebody else. If I could put you on a high level, I can. I would, but I can't. Amen. And I can't pull you down to a low level unless you allow that. And likewise, I could say the same. But anyway, I prayed that, and I began to think about that, just looking at it personal. And I picked up, we own Subarus, and that's not a plug, but I get that magazine that Subaru sends out periodically, and in that magazine, I'm talking about, it wasn't even a spiritual magazine, it was a car magazine, and in there it had an article called The Winning Spirit. Well, of course, that caught my attention, just you know, that when I was reading it. And I started reading that article on the winning spirit. And again, I'm not thinking about the existing thought at this time. I'm just reading this article. And what this article was about was that it interviewed in detail five elite athletes that spoke about what it took for them to compete on a world-class level. And many of those five, if not all five, was champions, world champions, sometimes more than once. And as I began to look at that, here's the thought that came to my mind, and this is what kicked into gear my direction for this morning. I didn't know it was going to be this morning, but the direction of thought and meditation. When I read that winning spirit, and it went into details of how many hours they trained, and several of them were ice skaters. God help them on that. I don't know. But they would like be very strict on what time they'd get up in the morning. Very strict on what they would have for breakfast. Very strict on what time they would be on the ice and how many hours they would practice every day. And I wrote this down. This came to my mind and heart. Had they merely existed, they would have never excelled. If they would have been content with so-so and good enough, they would have never excelled to the place of a world-class athlete. And in other words, they were willing to go beyond the status quo. They weren't interested in just being somebody that knew how to put on ice skates. They weren't interested in just being able to do some of the things that is involved. But they kept working on failures to eliminate them. They kept identifying mistakes. They kept identifying, areas that needed attention, because they quickly understood that how they practiced would be how they also performed. Amen. Boy, as I began to read that and think about that and all of that, listen, I thought, how many in church are not really desiring to excel spiritually? They're not really wanting to rise above the status quo. They're not really wanting to be one that makes a mark on their generation. They're not really making the decisions and operating in the realm of discipline to the point that they rise up above the average, the usual, and the normal. Weren't you glad Jesus wasn't like that? I'm glad Jesus Christ didn't come down here, Brother Scott, and was just the average Joe. I'm glad he come down here and he never lost sight of what God had sent him here to do. He stayed focused on his mission. And he wasn't interested in popularity. He wasn't interested in just being a pal and a buddy to others. But he was interested in pleasing the Father. Amen. And so as I read that article, again, I thought merely existing in the present removes the potential of excelling in the future. I wonder how many in this building today is really making an effort, spiritually and personally, to go to another level. And from there, to go to another level. One of the greatest enemies of spirituality is satisfaction. Being content where you are. Being satisfied on the level that you're on. And it's so easy to be controlled by that. Especially if the level you're on is maybe a good average level. Look around and you see others maybe that are not even on that level. And you look around and you see others, maybe a very few that's on a higher level, and you think, well, this is good enough, but that's not good enough. And others are not my standard. I am not your standard. Amen. Christ is our standard. You can do as I do and still be come way short of God's potential for your life. Amen. And so I thought about merely existing. Merely existing. I'm going to show you some things in our scripture in this moment. But I wrote down these thoughts, and you ought to always have your little pad or something that you can jot down some things. Because if you're like me, if you don't write them down, you'll forget them. Amen. And if you're like me, you write them down, you may forget where you wrote them. That's why I learned the hard way. Do not write it down on just a piece of paper. Because a piece of paper has a tendency to get covered up, thrown away, lost. Where'd I lay it? But so I get this connected together. I may have to flip through pages to find it, but I'm going to have it. Amen. Because if it's worth writing down, it's worth remembering. And so I wrote these words down. Merely existing does not excel. And that's a thought that I wrote down first. I wrote down also that merely existing does not have expectations. If you're in that status this morning of just existing instead of living, you probably didn't come to church this morning with much expectation of anything from the Lord. I've been there. I've done told you. Lord showed me this is I struggled in this area, and I'm trying my best, amen, to climb out of that hole, try to climb out of that merely existing preacher. Doing enough to get by. But I'm going to tell you right now, that'll never please God. And I'll tell you something else. It won't please you either. Live as you please, and you'll never be pleased with how you live. You get that? But there's no expectation, there's no dreams, there's no goals, there's no forward motion, there's no destiny, no direction to a person that's merely existing. It has no expectation. Paul said this in Philippians 3, verse 14. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he was saying? By the words, I press toward the mark, I'm not content with where I'm at. There's something up ahead that's pulling me, that's motivating me, that's inspiring me. And you know what it was? The finish line, the mark, pressing toward the mark. Amen. Merely existing is a state of limbo. You're just caught in the middle. Amen. Just existing does not care nor strive to improve. You're not trying to gain ground. You're not trying to advance. You're not trying to progress. And it's easy to get there, but I want to tell you that's not God's will. That is not God's will to get into that stagnant state of merely existing, having a pulse but no passion, having life but not living it. Amen. The world, when you say, I want to live, the world's term behind the statement, I want to live life to the fullest. You know what that means in the world's perspective? I want to get all this world I can get. I want to get all the gusto. I want to have everything, see everything, do everything that this world can put on my table. But you can have all of that and live life, earthly speaking, to the fullest and still die and miss heaven and still die empty. Because, friend, listen. This is elementary right here, but if you can get it, it'll help us. It'll help us all. Contentment and joy and happiness doesn't come from the possessions that I have. Even Jesus said that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Amen. You know when peace and joy comes in the life of a person as a creature, is when they get right with the Creator and they have that regenerated life and spirit within them that hooks them up with God. Amen. And from that point on, what matters to God matters to you. Amen, that's right. So, amen, I got to hurry. Merely existing does not excel. It does not have expectation. Merely existence, listen, does not have endurance. Merely existing does not endure. Had those world-class athletes that I talked about earlier, and I should have brought that article and pointed out some of the details of their strict practice life and discipline life. No wonder they excelled. They pushed themselves daily. They went against what the flesh wanted to do. They made themselves do what they knew they needed to do versus what they felt like they wanted to do. And so, but anyway, it has no endurance. Existing, just existing, is real close to quitting. Amen. It's hard to get somebody to quit that's excelling. It's hard to get somebody to quit that's got expectation. Amen. It's hard to get somebody to quit that's got some endurance in your spirit. Amen. That's right. So merely existing instead of living, really living, does not have endurance. It keeps, listen, you know what? You know what existing does not do? It does not keep getting up. There's going to come a time when existing is, and I'm going to jump ahead right here, so y'all just, when I say it again in a minute, if the Lord leads that way, be fine. But existing is real close to exiting. In fact, there's only one letter difference in the spelling. Take S out of exist, and you've got exit. If the devil can get you just existing, he's got an exit in mind. He's getting ready for you to walk out of God's will for your life. He's getting ready for you to abandon your responsibilities as a believer. It has no endurance. Amen. That's right. It does not. Existing does not push through obstacles. Existing, just existing, does not keep getting up. Amen. It will not endure the hardship. The world's got this, and they've sort of laid hold on this statement. No pain, finish it out. No gain. Amen? We don't like that. We like progress that is pleasurable and that is push button, that is convenient, that's easy. We want it step 1, 2, 3. We've got instant gravy, instant grits, instant eggs, instant coffee. We've got everything instant. But brother, I want to tell you, you can try every button in your life and you'll never find the one that says instant spirituality, instant prayer life, instant pleasing God, instant power. You'll never find that. No, it's when you push through and refuse to stay down when you do get knocked down. Amen. And when the flesh says lay down and quit and throw in the towel and what's the use and who cares? Amen. Hey, inside of you is a drive that comes from the Spirit of God that causes you to get back up and keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Amen. Exit. My goodness. Here's something else to think about. Merely existing does not enjoy. If you want to know where your joys went, ask yourself and evaluate yourself, am I just existing? I'm alive, I'm not dead, but I'm just existing. It has no joy. Just existing has nothing to look forward to. Merely existing focuses more on what I can't do instead of what I can do. Why is it that when a person is merely existing that they make negative adjustments in these areas of what they can't or supposed to do? They make negative changes. Have you ever noticed that? I've noticed that over the years that when a person goes into that status of existing, just existing, you got life, but you're not really living. You've got a pulse, but no purpose. And you get in that zone of existing. And I want to tell you what I've seen. I've seen many, even preachers that I've preached for, some have even stood here in this pulpit, that have thrown away their convictions and their standards and what they once preached against and personally practiced, you know, to honor the Lord, now have went and got in the other ditch. Are you listening? And I watch people. And I know if it happens to them, it'll happen to me. If I get in that existing mode and stay there long, it'll start happening to me, Brother Ben, and that is I'll start making some negative changes. They're never positive changes. I never make a decision in an existing state, Sister Candy, to be more spiritual. No, when I'm in that state of just existing, that's when I'm looking for areas to loosen up in and looking for some other things to throw overboard. Isn't it amazing that in Acts 27, the worst storm recorded in the New Testament, that when they got in that storm, they thought the solution was lightening the ship and they started throwing over the tackle. They started throwing over things that was necessary, Brother Scott. I mean, I fish with Brother Scott a lot, and how important is the anchor? Read that scripture in Acts 27. There was a point that they threw out the anchors as if to hold them steady, and that's what an anchor's for. But read on. Read on a little bit further into that storm, and guess what they did? They cut the anchors off. How important is an anchor to keep you from going in the wrong direction? But you can get so low and so battered and so confused that you don't know which end is up, amen. You don't know which way's forward and reverse if you're not careful. You'll start throwing over the tackle and you'll cut off the anchors, the very things that you're going to need. Lord, help us, Jesus. Merely existing does not enjoy nothing. It doesn't smile when it comes to church. Amen. That's right. If you're like just existing, then you will never love excelling. If you lose your joy, you're in trouble. If I lose my joy, I'm in trouble. And there's no joy in the existing level. And a lot of God's people are there. Anyway, there's no enjoyment there. I just want to say this too. Merely existing is not the work of the Holy Spirit. You can believe that. The Holy Spirit is not in the driver's seat when you get in a state, in a condition of just existing. Amen. Merely existing is the state. Listen, I read articles. I don't have time to develop all this, but I read articles, friend, about it, this term merely existing plays a major role in almost every single person that is suicidal. They get in that level of, oh, I'm just living. I'm alive, but I'm not living. I'm just existing. And before long, suicidal thought starts creeping in. And we all know that that's not of God. There's no joy there. I believe we could win a lot more people to Christ if we showed them in real fashion that it is a joy to be saved. It ain't no wonder that lost people makes a choice. Do I want to go get drunk or do I want to go to church? It's no wonder that they choose whatever the opposite is from church. One, they're lost. They have no desire to come anyway. But when they come and they see us that supposedly are saved and have the joy of the Lord and having our sins forgiven, amen, and going to heaven, and we act like we're miserable, we act like that, oh my soul, it's a plague. When I got saved, I didn't get a pardon, I got a plague. Sinners will run from that every day, all day, any day, they'll run from that. Amen. I listen, and you'll have to agree to a point that there are a lot of people that are lost today because they have not seen anything in believers other than negative things. Help me, Jesus. Listen, merely existing does not excite others. There's no inspiration that comes from that. Now listen, I'm being transparent with you. I done told you the Lord dealt with me, showed me, spoke to me in my heart that that's where I was getting there. Now I'm going to tell you the storm will... Listen, if you don't respond to a storm spiritually and respond to hard times spiritually and respond to the unwelcome things and the unwanted things in your life spiritually and scripturally, I want to tell you, you're going to go away from the exhaling desire and exhaling direction, and you'll go into the just existing status, and it's fine if you come to church, it's fine if you don't come to church, it's fine if you read the Bible, it's fine if you don't read the Bible, it's fine if you pray, it's fine if you don't pray. Are you listening? It's fine if God don't speak to you, and it's fine if He does speak to you. You're in trouble when you get in there. And listen, I'm telling you, buddy, the enemy's tried to take me out this year. More so probably than any year I've had in the ministry. You said, preacher, you've been saved here next month be 37 years. Yeah, and it ain't lightening up. If anything, I done told you this past year, 2017, was probably one of my worst, most difficult years. But then I thought about it too, you know, maybe not. Maybe it's not my worst one. It's just that I've got over those others. It's maybe that I've just got past some of those others. And I'm not standing around trying to figure out, was this year worse than that? And go back and start calculating and bringing up and trying to remember. Hey, it's best to just say, look, I don't know if I've ever had a worse year than this year. And next year, you know, I hope to forget this year. But I'm saying, friend, there's no excitement of others. You don't inspire others, parents. When you get into that status of just existing, you will not inspire your children to want God. We're losing this generation. We're losing this generation of the world. And I wonder, it's because they're not seeing anything in church and they're not seeing anything at the house. Amen. Hardest thing in the world to do is for a preacher to win a child of the Lord whose parents are projecting a negative spiritual light in them. Amen. Well, that's right. Merely existing, listen to this. Merely existing is a life that goes through the motions without the emotions. Wow. Functioning mechanically. You know what I call that? Robotic spirituality. You say, preacher, I can't get there. Easy. It's mighty easy to become robotic and mechanical in your spiritual life. We learn what to do and how to act and what to say and how to say it, and we learn all of the mechanics of it. And we need to learn. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's, we come to church and everything we do at church is just amen. You know, get your Bible, you know, and you to walk into church like a robot. Even the smile is robotic, and it's programmed in there. It's not coming from a heart. Are you just existing? I believe I can say this. The likelihood of you making it, and I'm not talking about making it to heaven. I'm talking about the likelihood of you surviving is unlikely. If you get in that state of existing without living, and you stay there any length of time. Amen. Hello. I have survived this year by the grace of God. Are you listening? I'm not trying to cast a negative light on being saved. Getting in that state of existing, just existing, was never God's fault. It was my fault. Well, amen, that's right. Listen, merely existing is a life that operates in the realm of rut and routine. The same old, same old. Many here today are existing spiritually. But I trust God will speak to us about getting away from the existing and get into the excelling. Look at verse 10. I had several other things I could give you, but I'm going to look at verse number 10 a minute. I already showed you the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And I know what some of you might be thinking. Preacher, I don't see that existing subject in here. Oh, it's there. You just got to look for it. It's sandwiched in between those that have life and those that have it more abundantly. You can have life without the latter one. You can have that life without the latter one. Look at verse 9 real quick. Verse number 9 shows us those people that need life. They need life. That is, those that are lost. They're dead in trespass and sin. They need life. And boy, it's very clear in this scripture how they get life. It's through Christ. He is the door through which you enter in. Verse 9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So in verse 9, it talks about those that need life. And then verse number 10, the first part of verse number 10, here are those that used to have life. Look at it. Now, every time I've quoted this verse about the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, I've always directed that a lot of times to lost people. But it's in the light of sheep and shepherd and the context of believers. I guarantee you, sure as your name's what it is, there are some people that the thief has carried out those, I'm talking about saved people, that the thief has carried out all three of them, steal, kill, and destroy. You don't have to be saved long and be around church long and be around God's people long to discover, friend, that there have been spiritual fatalities. There have been spiritual casualties. There are some spiritual statistics, amen, that once was in church and once, my friend, served God, but the devil stole and killed and destroyed. So there are those in verse 9 that need life. That's those that need to be saved. Verse number 10, the first part, we could talk about those that used to have life. And then in verse number 10, talks about those who have life. He said, I am come that you might have life. There are those that have life. You're saved. If you're saved, you have life. He that hath the Son hath life. But then there's the crowd in the last part of verse number 10 who have went beyond just having life and being alive, and they're living that abundant life. And by the way, friend, there's no store that sells it. There's no pill or party or potion, amen, that can give you that abundant life. Amen. Hollywood don't have the recipe, no. That's the most. Some of them are the most miserable people on the planet. Amen. They eat more pills than they do hamburgers. Why? Try to make it. Try to get over the hump. Try to have ups and downs. I don't envy that crowd. You hear me? I don't envy that crowd. There's not a one of them I'd swap places with, nor all of them. If you lined all of that stardom world up and put them in one pile with all of their money, possessions, cars, houses, notoriety, recognition, etc., put them all in one spot and say, Preacher Rackley, would you resign Rogersville Baptist Temple to have all of that? I wouldn't hesitate. I don't envy that crowd. I'm not just saying that out my mouth. I have nothing in my heart that envies that crowd. Oh, I'd like to have that. No, you don't. I don't. I'd like to be. Not me. I wouldn't give up what I have in the Lord, amen, for all of what they don't have. Say amen. That's right. That's why it's not big to me to be in the fads and the fashions and, you know, wearing the latest and having the looks and the hairstyles of so-and-so, singer so-and-so, wrestler so-and-so, NFL so-and-so. I don't, that stuff don't mean nothing to me. You know why? Because I'm not envious of that crowd. I'm not jealous of that crowd. That's right. Amen. It's quiet, but I've got good liberty. That's right. Anyway, there are those that have life. Are you? Let me go through this list right here real quick. Are you merely existing in your marriage? We've seen several homes blow up in this church over the years. That marriage doesn't blow up when it's excelling and having a heart for God, but one of the partners, one of the mates, one of the people in that marriage starts wanting to just exist. Just existing is good enough. We don't have to get fired up. We don't have to go all the way. We don't have to surrender. We don't have to submit. We don't have to separate. We don't have to serve. We'll just go to church occasionally. We'll just drop in and drop out. We'll put a dollar or two in the plate, and that'll be good till the next time we visit. Before you know it, that one, that mate, and by the way, I've been in lengthy conversations with a preacher friend of mine in South Carolina who's going through this right now. And he told me, he said, Preacher, he said, I watched my wife, who was one of the greatest prayer warriors, one of the greatest Bible disciplined Bible students. If he even said that, he said, Preacher, if I wanted somebody to pray for me about a specific issue, he said, I would not hesitate to ask my wife to pray. But he said, I got to noticing that she started leaving her Bible laying and she didn't go in the prayer closet. You know what that is? That's the evidence of going from excelling and wanting to live that abundant life and make a difference and just dropping back into just doing enough. Out of church, left him. Are you listening? When you start getting so busy that your spiritual life gets put on the back burner, or if it's even on the stove, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble. Anybody's in trouble. Because, listen, when you start having to step away from that book and church and your heart and passion for Jesus and your purpose for being saved to have something, do you think possibly that could be God? Do you think God, Brother Fultz, do you think God would put something, anything, or anyone in your life that would cause you to want something so bad you'd have to step away from the spiritual and God's will for you to have it? There's no way that's right. There's no way that's right. And I was preaching about this right recently. I don't even remember if it was Wednesday night or when it was. No, it wasn't Wednesday night, Brother Kyle preached. But recently I was preaching about romance. And I can't tell you how many times I have seen that. I have seen that when romance comes into the picture, spirituality goes out off the scene. Is that God's will? Come on now. Is that the perfect one? Is that the right mate of choice that's in your life when you have to backslide to get them and stay backslid to have them? God isn't in a million miles of that. Amen. Find somebody that'll challenge your spiritual life. When you get around them, they inspire you to want to pray more and go to another level. They don't encourage your carnality. They don't encourage you getting cold. They don't encourage that. If they're going to talk, they're going to talk to you about that. How are you doing spiritually? How could you possibly be in route? I'm preaching all these that are not married. How could you possibly be in route to have a spiritual marriage and a spiritual home when you never talk about the Lord and about the Bible and pray even now in courtship? Well, amen anyhow. Marriage is more than papers. It's passion. Are you just existing in your marriage? Are you just existing in your ministry? I told a preacher one time, he didn't come to church here. I told him sitting right here on the front row, he wanted to meet with me. And I met him up here during the week. And we just sat right there on the pew. And I listened to him for a few minutes. And I said to him, I said, when your misery starts competing with your ministry, you are in trouble. And I didn't stop there. I said, in fact, I think you're already there. And he shook his head. Because you're not going to put up with misery long. I promise you, you will seek for an alternative. You will seek for an exit. You'll seek for a substitute. You're not going to be miserable any length of time, much of a length of time, without making a major decision in your life based on feelings, most likely. Very serious message, isn't it? Are you merely existing in your ministry? The young preachers here in the church, are you just existing? Do you have a call of God on your life? Did you know you can have a call of God on your life and still be just existing? You know how you know you're not just existing? It's when that call has you. When you eat it and you sleep it and you breathe it and it's big. And you listen, it's not just what I do every once in a while when the preacher asks me. No, you've got long distance, lifelong plans. Merely existing in your ministry. And that's not just preaching, singing, teaching, just existing. Others will suffer spiritually when it's that way. And I've seen that. I'm being honest. I've seen that with me. When I'm not, and Brother Buster Mullins told me this too. We was talking about it on the phone. He said, preacher, he said, I've noticed that when I'm not doing good, my church ain't doing good. And I said, preacher, I've noticed that too. We're all influencing each other. Are you merely existing in your marriage, your ministry? What about your morals? You're doing right. You're still doing right maybe in some areas, but it's just because you know it's right, your heart's not in it. That's morals that is quickly going to be changed and challenged and will move to immorality. If your heart's not in it and it's not a conviction, you know why we've got so much changing going on in our day? It's because people don't have any convictions. The morals they have is merely passed on to from mom and daddy and a few other things they may have adapted to being around certain people. Hey, you better learn to stand on your own two feet. Know what's right and wrong in your life and hang a big not for sale sign on your life. That's right. Is your moral, are you just existing in your morals? What about your mind? Are you merely existing in your mind? This is a danger zone when your mind is not in your living. In other words, what you're living is being faked out and phony and a facade because it's not really inside of you. It leads to putting on. Loosening up in your mind is the prelude of loosening up in your way. Fake it till you make it is not acceptable with God. Are you, listen, what about, I'm just going to bump this one and go on. Merely accept, are you merely existing in your meals? And I'm talking about your spiritual diet, your spiritual intake. Are you feeding on God's Word? The recipe for disaster is to leave your Bible closed. Not let it speak to you. Not let it be in leadership. Not let it say with authority what you're to do and not to do. Are you merely existing in your mouth? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Merely existing will show up in how you talk, what you talk about. Merely existing does not speak much about a spiritual future. Merely existing can be identified about what you no longer speak about as well as what you now talk about. Merely existing is declared through fleshly talk, complaining, murmuring, gossiping, slandering, so forth. Are you merely existing as a member of this church? Good question, isn't it? I'm going to give you these couple things right here. Man, it's sober service, isn't it? I believe God's getting our attention. And I believe you're aware of the fact that if this is so with the preacher, that it may be so with you. The difference, and I've already covered several of those, the difference between living and existing. And I'll just go through these. If I say a second, say it again, you just have to get it. Existing has life but does not live. Existing has air in your lungs but no aspirations in your heart. Existing has a pulse but no purpose. Listen to this one. Existing, just existing and not living, has potential but no power. I can't tell you how much of late, and I say of late, last few months, that I've been excessively bothered and burdened about blown potential. Watching people that could be so mightily used of God blow it. You say, I don't have any potential. Are you saved? If you're saved, you've got potential. God has never saved anybody but what He didn't want to use you. Just existing has potential but no power. Listen to this, and you can relate to this. To illustrate, it's like a car. It has potential to carry, to move, to progress, to go forward, to reach destinies. But if it's stuck in neutral, you will not make it where you thought you wanted to go. Brother Jeter, neutral disengages the potential from the practical. Neutral takes away the power of the motor and renders it useless. All it's going to be is a noise. Run, run. Many, I believe, have been persuaded in their heart that neutral is a gear. Preacher, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. Well, are you going forward? No. Are you going backward? No. Guess what that is? Neutral. That is a neutral zone, a neutral. Listen, that's that state that I'm preaching on this morning of just existing. Listen to this. Neutral is not a gear, but it is that position where coasting will be chosen. Can't coast in gear. You coast when you're out of gear. I asked a lady one time, and you've heard me say this years ago, I asked a lady one time in South Carolina, I said, how are you doing? And she said, we're doing fine, we're coasting. And I mean, Lord, give it to me right there, and I said it right there. I said, I don't think coasting is doing fine. And she looked at me like, well, I can't believe you said that. I mean, I knew her, you know, so I could be honest. I said, coasting's not good. I said, that's what a car does when the power's been cut off. That's what a car does when it's going downhill. That's what a car does when it's out of gear and it's letting gravity and the natural pull of the world take over. You know what neutral looks for? Downhill.